You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. I'm excited because we're doing daily episodes, and sometimes I just get tired of looking at Alexis. You know, I need a new person to just simply look at, and excited to work with my substitute for today. Yes. You've seen her on Attacking Third. You've seen her at U.S. Women's National Team matches, doing the call inside stadiums. Just a great person. One of the hardest working people in American soccer. She is absolutely everywhere. Please, big round of applause for Jordan Angeli. What's up, Jordan?
Wow, thank you.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like this is like I need to give my wave and salute. You know, I only work next to Alexis a couple days a week, maybe right. one day, maybe every other week. And I agree with you. It's hard to sit next to him for that long. It's hard to sit next to him.
Hours and hours on end. I get it. And then but you have to look at him like super early in the morning, which is has to be challenging.
I don't know. For that part, though, I feel like it's worse for me. I'm like, all right, hopefully these bags into my eyes. It's early, man. And these games have been early. So
Right.
I guess that helps.
It's been fascinating. It's an interesting time, obviously, through the Women's World Cup, but also you are part of Attacking Third on CBS, on Paramount Plus and CBS Sports. This has been a cool thing because it is a real dedication to not only this is where we'll start. And look, hello everybody. My name is Christian. With the Cooligans, we're a comedy show. But we got to start. We're going to talk about the matches for today. But I just want to highlight the fact that we did a men's World Cup daily show. And this is why I'm excited. Attacking Third is now was a podcast now 3 days a week on Paramount Plus. But the fascinating part is that as women's soccer coverage has increased, and because we did a men's World Cup daily show, we're like, we want to do one for the women's World Cup as well.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's just the response has been, everybody was like, yo, this is so dope. You're doing daily episodes of the men's World Cup. Now we're doing daily episodes of the women's World Cup. They're like, why are you talking about the women so much? What's going on? it's just an unbelievable like hypocrisy and annoying, and I hate to necessarily shed light on it, but it's just I'm just happy and proud that Attacking Third yeah. is now more a part of the Golazo network, so I just want to give you your flowers and everybody there on the entire
thank
team.
Thank you. When are the flowers getting delivered? Should I be waiting?
Okay, yeah, it's a figure of speech, but I know what you mean.
I thank you very much, Christian. It has been so much fun. And I think, I'm surprised a little bit to hear what you just said, that people aren't super like receptive of doing a Women's World Cup daily. Because I think sometimes the loudest voices aren't really the voices you want to listen to. And I think that's a little bit of what we're getting, because overall in this Women's World Cup, one, it is the perfect time to shed the light on the state of women's soccer across the entire globe. It is incredible. It is increasing. We are going to talk about it a lot today because today is a testament of that. But also it was a perfect time to launch Attacking Third. We will always have a lot to talk about, but right now it's nice to dig into the games a little bit more and to be able to do that with some really great minds in the women's soccer space. We have had so much fun doing it, and and it's only going to continue because after the World Cup, the leagues start and then we're off and running.
Yeah, y'all are crushing it. You did mention how wild this World Cup has been so far, and let's get right to it. So The two matches this morning, South Korea versus Germany and Morocco against Colombia. And we have to obviously address the biggest news is Germany getting knocked out of the World Cup in the group stages. The first time in the history of Germany has won the Women's World Cup in the past. This is quite the shock. I know people were, you know, they couldn't believe that the U.S. Finished second in the group. But this is even more of a shock, in my opinion. So what is your first thoughts, you know, just a couple hours after the match ended?
I was sitting watching it like this. No. Oh, my gosh. I could not believe. Hands on my mouth. I could not believe that this is the way that it was going to end for Germany. I think if the U.S. would have gone out, that would have been the biggest shock just because they've won four World Cups. They're going for their third in a row, their fifth overall. But for Germany, they've won twice. And they have been this dominant team. And I think that that is really the theme of this World Cup, is the overall dominance of these massive teams throughout history of women's soccer who are now not that dominant anymore. And I think they're not that dominant because the tactics of other teams have changed. The technical ability of other teams have changed. Some of the, and I know this is controversial because I'm not saying that it's at where it should be, but there is more investment than there ever has been in the women's game. So you're seeing teams have better structure. They're having coaches for longer. All these things that allow you to be a united team are happening. And I think that what a perfect time with all of these fights that are happening across the world for federations to pay their women on time and more, that they're showing, these women are showing up and proving why they should be invested in.
Totally.
So it's this weird, like, you're so happy for these countries who are showing up and showing out, but it's like you're seeing also this dominance just crumble in front of you. And Germany legit crumbled in this tournament.
I mean, the difference between the 2019 World Cup, which didn't necessarily feel like we were on the precipice of something changing, like, you know, as far as the quote-unquote weaker sort of footballing nations, till now, which in the last 4 years, the memo went out. I don't know what happened during COVID. They were just like, yo, we're going to train harder than ever, because all these countries that we just simply did not expect to surprise us did. And given with Germany, I mean, they lost in their like warm-up game for the World Cup in against Zambia. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, okay, it was like kind of crazy. Like, are Zambia good? Are Germany bad? Like, we didn't know exactly how to feel. And now, especially after watching the game against South Korea, Germany didn't, you know, they didn't play awful, but, you know, and give credit to South Korea a little bit, mm-hmm. because they, I thought they handled the strategy that, and a couple other teams do this, but the strategy clearly for Germany was like, yo, we got the taller players. Throw it up, throw it in the box. You know, given if it weren't for that offside call, they probably do win this game and stuff like that. But South Korea handled those intense, like, pressure moments really well. And it's just such a shame. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. You just expected so much more from Germany, and they just couldn't do it. And I love the, you know, I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of German fans are unhappy about it, but this photo is probably one of the best things I think we've gotten from this World Cup. Shout out to Attacking Third for putting this together. But Alexandra Popp got the Player of the Match award. And if you were just in the World Cup, this was in 20, not the recent one, but the one in 2018. Where Germany got also knocked out by South Korea. And that was an incredible game as well. But this photo is just great. Both of them, Kai Havertz and Alexandra Popp, holding the Player of the Match award. Just miserable. Just after, why do we have to do this?
Yes. I was trying to think, Christian, of like times that you would have that same reaction. With an award, it's like you got your first hole in one and nobody's there to witness it, and you're like,
right. Yeah, just because like we just recently saw Steph Curry get that hole in one. Did you see that clip?
Where, I did.
And it was literally that was more meaningful to him than winning the NBA championship. He lost his mind. I'd never seen him that happy in my life.
But if no one was there to witness it, he'd be like, hey,
damn, it's not the same.
Are you serious? Yeah, just real. I mean, I feel like this is going to be going around when, like, this has to be put into one of those things of, like, what's another reaction that you would have like this to winning something?
Sure.
That,
should be a proper. We gotta make a meme format of this exact thing, whatever.
And everybody just stone cold face. Yeah, Pop. She thought she won it too, which was the hardest thing. She thought she was. It felt in moments, and I don't know if you got this. I had flashbacks to the U.S. game against Brazil with the Megan Rapinoe to Abby Wambach moment that pushed them into, I think it was semifinal, pushed them into the final. And I was like, are they going to do it? Is Germany going to have that moment here? It's just all or nothing. They're throwing the ball forward. And here comes Pop flying through the air, being the superwoman. And they couldn't figure it out. But I don't know what it was. To me, this is all mentality. It felt like South Korea hit the nail on the head. They had whatever caffeinated drink you need to have in South Korea before you go and do something. Like, I don't know if it's their, you know, there's coffee for the Australians, there's mate for the Argentinians. I don't know what they were having, but it was perfect. And I think their goal shows exactly that. Like, they were awake when Germany was on.
They shut off for like a second, and that was just, it was weird. It was like they for the South Korea goal, it just felt like, did you not know there was a player there? Like, what was they were?
If you watch it back, Christian, Oberdorf gets, she's one of those players that's like stepping, she was in the back line for a second, so she's stepping up, and then she's kind of in this no man's land, and there's two center backs, or it's her and a center back in no man's land. And the ball goes through, and the replay is just Oberdorf looking over her shoulder, watching. She didn't move. Didn't move after it went past her.
Couldn't believe
it. She was like, what just happened? And I don't know what happened. I just tweeted out, like, what were they doing? I don't know what they were doing. And to lose on, you know, to get knocked out of the World Cup on a defensive action like that, when we had known Germany to be like, this is how we're going to defend first. Yeah, we're going to push forward and make it dangerous, but we're going to be organized for them to get.
Yeah. It's just like that. It's I think in general, this World Cup will just like Germany, you know, after 2018, and you know, it made everybody ask questions of their federation, and then seeing all the teams winning despite being mistreated by the federations, it's just like South Africa's success, Colombia's success makes the federations, they're almost like, no, don't win too much. Like, you're making it hot for us right now. So yeah. I wonder, it'll definitely just force some real change, and not just like, you know, from a you know, equal treatment level, but just from even from a footballing perspective, like, these teams got to get better. And we'll talk about U.S. in a little bit, because I think that's the thing that they were not prepared for, of how technically gifted the improvement, the improvement from 2019 to now is really, really stark. And we have to train and prepare in a different way.
Oh, yeah. And it's not just the technical side. I think tactically, teams are so much more organized than they ever were. So they're harder to break down.
Yeah.
Like, if you sit in a low block, how do you break that down? And I think that these dominant teams, granted, that's a very hard thing to do, to break down a low block, but dominant teams are struggling because it's not as open of a game anymore.
Yeah.
It is much more, it's much tighter in the technical and the tactical aspect. And
it's gonna get challenging
for Germany. That is a ticket home.
Morocco also played Colombia, and they won 1-0. This was another really, really good game that I think just Morocco, first time in the World Cup to play the way that they played against a really good Colombian team, who've won their first two matches. this was just really impressive. And you mentioned mentality. This is that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm just like, man, for them to hold on. And then the moment in the end was just so remarkable. After the final whistle, waiting for the result for against Germany, South Korea. And if you haven't seen this video, I obviously can't show it here because we will get banned immediately on YouTube.
See ya. We'll be getting sent home as well. But Germany, is there room on your flight?
What an incredible moment. Just tears, prayer, just absolutely thanking the heavens for qualifying into the knockout stages. But I got emotional watching it. How'd you feel when you saw it?
Yeah, I got emotional. And I think I've had many of those moments in this World Cup, which is like, yes, 32 teams. How's it going to be? And we're seeing just the joy of representing your country. Like nothing beats it. I played in a youth World Cup and I have the most vivid memories of getting to don that crest on my chest and go out there and represent not just me, my team, my family, my country. And we got to see Morocco do that. They lost 6-0 in their first game right. against Germany, and they made it through. What is that about? It's
what a turnaround.
It was just, it was incredible. And I love that they were able to do it the first time ever. Three teams from the Africa have made it into the knockout stages. Everybody throughout their bracket, and can we just start over? Because now we get to go with a little bit more passion, because I think that's number one, what we saw from some of these teams, these new teams, and not just debutants like Morocco was making it the only team that debuted this tournament to make it into the next round, but the teams that have never made it into the next round. Yes, tears, emotion, goosebumps. I had it all. And as much as it was like hands and mouth, my hands over my face when Germany gets out, I was like on my feet just watching the scenes, because that was cool to watch Morocco all huddled around, waiting, anticipating, is this really going to happen? And then when it did.
It felt very... to me, watching it was very humbling, right? Because we all saw the comments from Carly Lloyd about the dancing, and then pretty much the whole Fox crew were just on board with, like, why are they dancing? Why are they so happy? And then you realize, like, you see what it means to some of these countries. I mean, why should we lose that giddiness, that joy of, like, even a little bit of success? Like, I understand, like, look, when we posted a clip about the Carly Lloyd thing, and the comments are just like, she's 100% right, you guys are idiots, and blah blah blah. And then a lot of people are like, Carly Lloyd has that, like, Mamba mentality, like Kobe Bryant, just Michael Jordan, has, you know, super serious, has to win, and all this other stuff. And I don't know if you've been consuming a lot of the content from the former players, or some of the players, Kristen Press and Tobin Heath have a show. Midge Purse is doing a show. And there's a lot of I loved Kristen Press and Tobin Heath, because they were basically saying, I mean, they played with Carly and they won World Cups with her. They essentially said, like, we need a person like Carly. But we also need somebody like Heather O'Reilly that was saying, hey, we need to just get behind the team and really support. And yeah, they're dancing, but this is something positive. And both of those mentalities are what is helpful in a locker room. So that's why I'm watching Morocco and I'm like, this it reconnected me with that joy that like, okay, the U.S., yes, they finished second in the group, but this is still quite an accomplishment, because we could have been Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have been on the first flight back to Los Angeles. I think that it is a really good reminder. And I do think both those things can live together in the same place, right? The hardest thing for the U.S. in this tournament is expectation. And it is put on themselves. They put it on themselves. I don't think the Fox, like, how do you stop the U.S. commercial helps at all. I could, if I never saw that again in my life, I would be very happy, because that irks me, because it is this line of arrogance but confidence that they're walking, and they've always walked that line. And I think it rubs people the wrong way when they are expected to win. They were expected to win against Portugal.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were happy that they didn't win. And I think you saw that in the huddle. But one of the things that you have to be able to do when you're in these types of tournaments, when you're playing on that type of stage, is you have to be able to assess things in the right state of mind without emotions. So they're going to watch that video of Portugal and they're going to say, we need to be better here, here, and here. They're going to watch Sweden and they're going to say, this is how we're going to attack them. But they also are going to have a moment, which I think Kelly O'Hara probably did in that huddle, is get over it.
Yeah.
We this is done. We made it through. The tournament starts now, which I think is very true. But I also think like it is hard to manage that with seeing them happy and celebrating. I think it's hard for people because they are expected to win. Do you see where I'm getting that? Like there's friction there. But again, I can also see there's people that spent so much money to fly themselves to New Zealand to watch maybe this team for the first time ever. Maybe this team for the 100th time. I don't know. But that they can meet those people in a place of their joy saying, hey, I spent money to come watch you play. Smile.
Right, right.
Say thank you. Be appreciative. You know, yeah. I do think that we can expect both of those things out of this team and say that both of those things are okay. Like we can be upset that they lost or that they drew and they barely squeaked through. But we also can say the game is supposed to be fun.
Right, right. And I mean,
we can appreciate that.
The moments with Trinity Rodman, she stayed, as long as she possibly could, signing autographs, taking photos. That is just a.
What is she supposed to do? Do one of those like player of the match photos?
Just a Trinity. Yeah. Look, I think it's a healthy outlook because look, I've said this ad nauseum. In my opinion, the issue is not with the players themselves. So that's why I don't really understand picking on them. It is truly like you said earlier, like a tactical issue. I mean, and now what I do love what's happening now is that it's forcing people to analyze the U.S. women's national team not simply on the personalities and characters and activism. It's like, how is this team actually playing? And then when you look
not very good
tactically, it's just like, what, Crystal Dunn has nobody to pass the ball to. Sophie Smith has there's no midfield. They couldn't string together five passes. They couldn't get balls into the final third. This is not a U.S. women's national team that we're used to even seeing. It makes almost no sense that they can't. It's not even about the opponent at this point. It's just like, why can't what is it tackling that we're doing? You know, and we could go into very.
How much time do we have here?
Yeah. This is what attacking third is for, to go over those those specifics.
Tune in tomorrow.
You know, figure out, you know, why is Andy Sullivan only have 5-6 touches in a half? It makes no sense. Anyway, we'll get to it. So look, you see how excitable I can get about this stuff, but it just clearly shows that passion, but from time to time, Jordan Angeli, we all need to chill. We all need to chill from time to time because the way to, you know, these soccer gets us hyped up. It's very, very, very intense. And not only are we watching the Women's World Cup, but we're also watching the Leagues Cup. All right. Did you watch Messi last night? Okay, this guy's pretty good.
Messi. I mean, he's must-watch TV.
He's appointment television when Messi's playing in Leagues Cup. And the best way to watch the Leagues Cup this year is with an ice cold Coors Light. Okay, Jordan. I mean,
it's from Denver. Do it.
Let's go. That's right.
Rearranging.
I'm a huge fan of your home state. But we've been watching Leagues Cup, and Messi continues to do it. I think Inter Miami are probably going to win the whole thing. Jordi Alba just played and debuted And he was absolutely.
Like he was going to get in a fight too there, or like hold back Tata at moments, like don't do it.
Messi got his first yellow in an Inter Miami kit. Okay, all right,
yeah. Well, second too, I would say.
Right, it got really close there, but you know what? The universe will not let that happen because we need to watch him in every single game. So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light, official beer of League's Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Let's go. I love that there's just a place called Golden in Colorado.
You know that Golden has a Golden Retriever Festival every year, and it's packed with Golden Retrievers.
That is amazing. Golden.
It is like heaven on earth.
That is,
just the streets filled with furry dogs.
I just want to, crowd surf on Golden Retrievers. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yes, I thought it couldn't get better, and it just did. It just did.
All right. So the round of 16 is set. So we can now look forward and really start thinking about how this is gonna pan out. I mean, when it comes to the United States, let's just start there. They are facing Sweden. I mean, this is maybe a little conspiracy theory thing or whatever, but all the controversy, especially from the Fox panel and everybody, like the dancing, they shouldn't be happy about finishing in second. I think what they're actually mad about is that finishing in second makes this match and the possible next match that they're like at 5 and 6 a.m. Otherwise, it would have been at like 9 and 10 p.m.
I'm kind of mad about it too, to be honest.
But I'm
sick of waking up at 3 a.m. to watch these games.
The broadcasters are like, how dare you, the U.S., you're not good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but how cool would it have been if it was those prime times and we just continued to? I think Germany, there was 11 million people watching at some point. What if the U.S. got to that? What if the U.S. got those numbers? And okay, we can talk about like they want it for them, but like I kind of want it for us.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's better for everybody.
We'll see how many people tune in at.
Because even like when you see the stats, the games that were at 9 p.m., I think they got like nearly 6 million viewers. Yeah. So really impressive numbers. And it's always World Cup after World Cup is just only growing. So this result and finishing second does. It might hurt people's pockets. Maybe that is the concern as well. So there's a lot of pressure, all right, on everybody. U.S. Sweden. We gotta assume that Sweden, they see blood in the water. They are the sharks that see a weakened, a hurt United States. No Rose Lavelle. Well, how are you feeling about this upcoming match?
I'm not feeling great after the last time these two teams met in a competitive match. It was in the Olympics and Sweden whooped the U.S. 3-0. The U.S. didn't look like they showed up. It was a really difficult loss for the United States and kind of set the tone for that Olympics games. But if any time the U.S. can show their mentality, because this is a new tournament, this is a U.S. team who, despite what happens in the group round, and we saw that in 15, they figure out a way to win games. And that's all that matters right now. You have to win this game. You have to advance to the next round. Sweden is going to cause them issues. And if we do not see this change, Christian, I think everybody is going to have more gray hairs or just less hair in general because they're going to pull their hair out. But we need to see Julia Ertz in the midfield in this game.
Yeah, I mean,
need to see Julia Ertz in the midfield.
It's absolutely super important. Yeah, there's no, I don't think there's any way to win without that change. I'll just echo this as well. Like I think it's an interesting World Cup in that we have so many former players sharing their thoughts on like players that they just played with or even they're talking about a team that barring injury, they're probably on that team and they're really sharing their thoughts. So like Tobin Heath and Kristen Press, I appreciate that. They're just like, they're not saying like, yo, Vlatko, what's your problem? What are you doing? They're not saying that, but they're just like, we need to adjust tactically and make the changes necessary. And so it's like they're saying it without saying it and calling anybody out. They're being as constructive as possible. But
which is what happened in 15. They kind of changed. They were like, we're not comfortable with how things are going. We have to change things. The team changed things is what I kind of get from this group and hearing all the stories coming out of 15. The team, yeah, you're going to get set up how you get set up. But you have to be able to adjust on the fly in the game too, as a group. And that type of mentality of like, yeah, I appreciate what is given to us, but I also see what we're playing against and we're going to tweak these little things.
Yeah.
But from the coach's perspective, those changes need to be made. Alana Cook needs to play. Ertz needs to be in the midfield. And if you need be, and you have to push for a late goal, you can switch to a three back so quickly.
Yeah.
And you still have Ertz on the field. You put another good player who's good at heading. I just don't know how Alana Cook went from starting every match to not even seeing the field yet.
Right. Yeah. It's a desperate need of changing the formation, in my opinion. I think Kristen Press suggested like, or Abby Dahlkemper was on, and she said 4-2-3-1. I think. Yeah. Look, it seems like the strategy is we have some of the best attackers in the world. And even I thought this before the World Cup started. I'm like, we're going to score a bunch of goals. I'm a little concerned about the defense, losing Becky Sauerbrunn, but we're going to score a bunch of goals. And it's the opposite. We can defend decently. We cannot score any goals. And that's really the issue. And it's not to blame any of the forwards. It's just
hard to score goals.
Very hard. And it's just that the midfield can't operate. I mean, and it's not even any individual player's fault. It's just it seems that the strategy is, and if I'm trying to get inside Vlatko's head, it seems like it's, we have better players. Our better players will solve any problem on the pitch because our players are better. And that is not always enough, right? It seems like we have the best players on the pitch, but we don't have the best team on the pitch, right? Like the lineup should be a little bit different, don't you think?
Absolutely. I agree exactly with your point. And what is strange to me is when this is what I feel like if I was on this team, this would be my thoughts. You get on the ball and it's like, we're told to do this one thing. So that thing is, the team is thinking about the game plan and how that is supposed to be executed. But then they get there, and that's not the solution to the problem. And so then everybody is in this like timid in between, like, how do we solve it? Where I am saying, whatever the game plan is, if the game is not presenting you with that solution, you guys are good. These are some of the best players in the world. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Solve the problem. And I think it is with a little bit more movement off the ball. I think the tempo has to up. We have not seen this team play fast. Yeah. They have been in transition moments where they slow it down and bring the ball back. They have swung the ball around to switch the point of attack. And there's players taking 2, 3, 4 touches. They've lost the ball on the dribble in wrong situations. That's tempo. That's just decision-making. That's movement off the ball to make sure those players on the ball have an option. So they can solve it. I do believe they can solve it. Will they do that against a Swedish team who is going to know that they can overload the midfield and cause problems? And they're also going to know they're going to have set pieces to deal with. They've been very good on set pieces, and Alyssa Nair has gone fishing a couple times on set pieces. They got to shore that up.
Yeah. I say, on the midfield, I would put 5 midfielders, maybe 1 attacker, and just control the game. And then from there, the substitute, get rid of a midfielder to try to attack, but just control the game. I would love to see Christy Mewis in the game.
Me too. I kind of feel like it would be a good game for her.
Yeah, is she the paciest player? No, but as far as just like controlling the ball, controlling the game, and this is why like the difference between the roster in 19 and now, like not having players like Allie Long. Allie Long is just
Mewis.
Samuel, of course, and it's just like that, and that mentality, you know, the approach having two tall midfielders in Horan and Mewis allowed us to dominate a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And not having that, not having Sam Mewis changes the approach a lot. And also, and it seems odd that Horan is like such an attacking midfielder. When that doesn't seem like what we need right now.
Yeah, so maybe Mewis and Ertz, and you want Horan higher?
I'd be fine with that because I would trust.
I'd be good with that.
I would be good with that too. I mean, yeah, especially not having Lavelle. You know, I would bench Andy Sullivan, maybe bring her on late in the game. Yeah, so look, we can have out there, but this is it. But you know what? In general, we weren't having these conversations in 19, in 15, because in general, we had it all under control and kind of figured out, and we could just talk about mentality. But it's like, no, now we have the other teams are really good, and we got to really figure out a good strategy.
And it's been like that for about 2 years. If you've been watching this team, there's been questions about how they solve issues for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Okay. So I hope this game against Sweden goes well. But now, look, so the round of 16 is set. Obviously, it starts on Saturday. It's going to be super entertaining. We have, just a reminder, we're here every day. We'll be off tomorrow since there is no match day. We'll have our one day off. We'll be off tomorrow, but we'll be back on Saturday reacting to the first round of 16 matches. A bunch of fun stuff lined up, cool guests, all this other stuff. But we're excited to keep this going. A reminder, attacking third, let people know where they can, where and when they can catch the show.
Of course, Attacking Third is on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Golazo Network, on Paramount Plus, or you can catch it on CBSSports.com. You can watch it there for free. So check us out. Yeah, tomorrow we're talking about, of course, what happened in today's game, but really talking about group stage and wrapping that up, leading into some of these matchups that we're going to see over the weekend that everybody is pretty wide-eyed about.
Yeah, it's been an exciting World Cup, to say the least. So, Jordan Angeli, thank you so much for joining me, subbing, a great substitute for Alexis Guerreros. Continue.
I'll call him that when I see him next.
Remind him, okay? I'm going to text him this clip. All right. So everybody, make sure you check out Attacking Third, and as always, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. You can do that now. And what else? Anything else? We'll be back on Saturday, everybody. Yeah. So download the episode, do all the things that you got to do. I mean, you can't leave an episode of The Cooligans without a little bit of homework. So we're gonna quiz you on Saturday sure you subscribed. But that's just one of our few requirements. So Jordan Angeli, thank you so much, and everybody,
thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll see you Saturday. Peace.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.